hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland. I am your co-host, Brian Brown, and we are in the B.B. McKinney Studios, Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Mike.
You know, today, Brian, we don't have a special guest.
No, we've had some recently.
We've got more on the way. We've got a number of guests. We're actually looking and thinking about our podcast in terms of just adding different kinds of content to it, maybe expanding it somewhat, and maybe even releasing some things more often in the future than we do now. But and one of the ways we want to do that, we're here in Nashville, so let's bring in some amazing guests, and so we're going to be doing that. We've done some of that. We've got more to come. We've got some pretty exciting ones coming up.
But today, Mike, the reason you and I are talking is it's just us because we looked at the calendar and we realized Easter Sunday is right around the corner.
So let's just go ahead and get this out there, Brian.
I can't wait for this.
People don't know this about you, but Brian Brown may be the person that I know that has the most useless information of anybody. I mean, I like to stump Brian. If like we're traveling together or we're out somewhere, I'll say, "Hey, Brian, tell me all you know about," and then I'll. So let's let the audience experience some of your insanity, and I'll set you up. Yeah. Brian, tell us why Easter Sunday moves around on the calendar year to year. How do we know when Easter is going to be?
So here's how you can tell if you want to look way into the future and try to figure out when Easter is going to be. Although today with calendars, you don't have to. But Easter occurs on the first Sunday that follows the first full moon that follows the vernal equinox or the spring equinox. So, now you know when it is, but let me explain a little further. This year, we have a very late Easter, April 21st.
And why would that be?
Because there was a full moon, if you were paying attention, on the vernal equinox. When the sun was exactly, you know, at halfway point of the earth, which is the vernal equinox, day and night are equal amount of time, 12 hours each. That happened when there was a full moon already. So we have to wait for the next full moon, another 28 days, and then the Sunday that follows that full moon to have Easter. So this year, because we had a full moon prior to the actual moment of the vernal equinox, then we had to wait another 28 days for another full moon, and then the Sunday following that, which will be April 21st, 2019, will be Easter. So there you go.
So thank you, Brian.
That's the short explanation.
Just completely blown away by all of your wisdom. I want to encourage any of our listeners out there, if you ever come to one of our conferences or ever visit us here at Lifeway, I want you to walk up to Brian Brown and ask a random question about
random
something.
Random bits of trivia.
And there is a good chance that you know something about something. Because you like to read and you like to...
I do. Occasionally, even religious things. I've got too much in my head. I wish I could get rid of most of it. But Mike, for the Minister of Music, regardless of when Easter is, it's a big Sunday.
It's a big Sunday.
For the church, it's a big Sunday. You know, the joke, and sadly it's not a joke, for some people, I mean, some of our guests coming, this is their Sunday. I mean, that they go to church. They don't go any other time.
Yeah, the church staffs would call those the Easter bunnies, the one that would come out. And the only Sunday, they might attend twice a year. They come to Christmas Eve, and they come with Easter Sunday, and on Easter they're going to Mama's house for lunch, and they kind of do the Easter thing because they know their parents want them there or whatever the reason. And maybe sometimes people just really, you know, on Easter Sunday, they see more advertisement about what churches are doing. Maybe they're just interested more on Easter. Who knows why? But no question, it is Christmas Eve and Easter Sunday are probably the two biggest attendances of the Christian church in North America, at least, at any other time of the year. So it's something that the worship pastor has to have in mind for sure.
No doubt about it. And Mike, one aspect I was thinking about, the different things I think about as a worship pastor, every year this comes up in your staff meeting at some point. What are we going to do for Easter?
Yeah, what are we doing at Easter?
What did we do last year? Oftentimes, often probably is the jumping off point. And it's a careful, balanced kind of a thing because you can get to the point, I was discussing this before we got on the air here a minute ago, you can create a service on Easter that is so impressive, just the show of it, but is nothing like your service week to week, which might be the reason these people only show up once a year. So you have to be careful that you don't go so far out of the bounds of what your church is and what it does.
What I would say. My comment to that would be is on Easter Sunday, be who you are. Don't try to be some other church or what you think that particular Sunday you need to kind of game up. Now, does that mean don't hire anybody, don't bring any guest? I didn't say that at all, because if you want to be at your very best, well, of course you want to be at your very best every Sunday,
right?
But you don't have perhaps the resources to do that every Sunday the way you might could do that for a special Sunday or a particular Sunday. So the first thing, one of the things I would note is that there's still a lot of churches that approach it with a very fully produced and very complicated and developed presentation at Easter. I know churches that still do passion plays, or they might do a musical. And certainly we release Easter musicals, both You Can and Let's Sing, and a lot of Easter anthems. And a lot of times churches will do a special music experience around Easter, if not on Easter Sunday, maybe on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before, or around the Easter time. Yeah. My home church, my mom and dad's church, do a big passion play every year at Easter time, and they see dozens and dozens of people come to Christ every year in a fully produced and dramatized and costumes and lights and sets and all of that Easter production. That's still there. Are a lot of churches that do that, and I think it's a wonderful thing to do. I was talking with my friends down at First Baptist Jacksonville, and they were talking about their big Easter thing they're doing this year, and it's going to be unique and different.
Our engineer Tim Hennings grew up in that church.
He did, and I was talking to their worship pastor recently, Mark and I were talking about what they're going to do this Easter at First Jacksonville, and it's going to be this big thing that is intended.
And should be. Celebrating the resurrection is kind of a big deal. And Mike, you've alluded to this earlier when we were off air. You know, as Christians, the reason the evangelical church, we have our services on Sunday morning, we celebrate the resurrection weekly. But this is the actual, you know, the Passover week and the culminating Sunday there, where we do celebrate the bodily resurrection of Christ from the grave.
We're certainly acknowledging the anniversary of
it. Yeah, that's right.
And you know what? I think it's a very appropriate to do that. Somebody asked off mic, why is Christmas so much more emphasized musically or in church life, it seems, in terms of a production than
Easter? Yeah, it
seems
like the bigger holiday sometimes, for sure.
Yeah, Easter can. And I think maybe one answer to that question is not that we love Christmas more than we do Easter. I think it's because we celebrate Easter all the time.
Yeah.
That Easter by itself is not something that we only celebrate once a year, whereas Christmas is something we generally just celebrate once a year.
Right.
But every Sunday morning, the fact that we meet on Sunday is an allusion to Easter.
That's right.
The first day of the week. So I think that day does deserve special attention, but I think every Sunday deserves special attention. But I definitely would say to any church leader that you really careful thought about what you do on Easter and how you involve your people is really, really critically important. And I would say to any leader out there, that make sure Easter is authentic to you. But first thing I would say to any ministry leader is make sure the people in your ministry are not distracted unnecessarily from actually experiencing the power of the Easter experience by dominating them in some kind of hyper production that requires so much of people that you take Easter away from them, that they can't enjoy their family at that time and they can't enjoy a unique experience. But just make sure that Easter celebration is within your ministry, not just led by your ministry, but your people actually experience the power and the joy of the Easter thing as you do it. Whatever you do, if it's a big production or if it's just a Sunday where you add maybe a little extra special thing in the music area, make sure that your people experience the power of it and not just are serving the form of it.
Yeah. Well, Mike, it's become more and more common in churches. When I say more common, I'm speaking to my personal experience. To have the entire, you know, week long, really a Monday, Thursday, maybe a Good Friday service. And really, I've seen more and more churches and their music ministries span the celebration of the Easter story, the gospel story, the resurrection story, beyond the just the Easter Sunday morning experience into more of the Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday services. So I'd love to hear from you a little bit of how you've handled those other kinds of special services. I think of three in particular, the Monday, Thursday service, the Good Friday service, and then the Sunrise service, which as a tenor, I was never particularly thrilled to be singing the high notes that they required us to often sing at those Sunrise services. But when they're done well, you know, it was that morning when they would have gone and they found the grave open. They would have gone just after sunrise and found the stone rolled away. And those Sunrise services, when they're done well, can be really, really impactful times. So talk about some of those other services before we get to the Easter Sunday morning service. Mike, I'd be just curious in your experience, Good Friday services, Sunrise services, what are some of the lessons you've learned over the years, some of the unique things maybe you've done in your ministry, Easter week, really, Easter Sunday.
Well, first of all, I totally agree with you. It was not a tenor that came up with the Easter Sunrise service as an idea.
Yeah.
And think about this. I want you to think about this. If you are trying to pull off a fully produced Easter Sunrise service, that's off campus.
Yeah.
That's in an outdoor, or maybe not off campus, but out of the worship space.
Yeah.
And you're trying to do that on Easter Sunday morning, and it's at the crack of dawn, you know, the sunrise service.
My little brother will be doing that this Easter in D.C.
The logistics behind that can be unbelievable.
Yep.
And I would tell my advice on the leader would be simple is better in something like that. I'm not going to try to pull an orchestra out there. I'm not going to try to put necessarily, if I did a choir, I'd try to do it in a very, very simple way.
Yeah.
And really, I would say let the focus be on the experience itself and the great music the congregation can be involved in, and not try to overly produce an Easter sunrise service, especially one that's outside, when you've got to have a contingency plan for weather and on and on and on. Because I tell you, I think the biggest mistake you could make would be to overplan that service and then get into a logistical challenge that takes all of the joy and the focus out of it when you're out there sweating like crazy trying to pull something off in a really, really challenging situation. Make sure your plan is just right-sized for the environment, and that it's focused on the experience of worship and not on the technical achievement of doing this big thing that happens to be outdoors at 6 or 7 in the morning.
Yeah, and it's so easy to get caught up in that, Mike. What about Good Friday services? Is that something in your music ministry that was a focus? To me, in my experience, that's something that's been more recent, the last decade or so.
It has been more recent, and I think what a great thing to happen. I love Good Friday services, and I know a church that does a noon communion service on Good Friday. It seems like maybe more schools are out on Good Friday, perhaps, even public schools.
Yes.
Certainly, Christian schools very often would be. Lifeway closes on Good Friday. I expect there are a lot of businesses out there that's not true. But Lifeway, we're blessed that Lifeway closes on Good Friday.
Yeah.
And man, that would be something to think about. If I was a church leader, what could we do this Easter? Maybe the Easter Sunday morning isn't where you ought to make attention or put your attention.
Maybe instead of the sunrise.
Maybe instead. How about something on Good Friday? How about a noon communion service or a Friday night thing? I was in one church that we did a Maundy Thursday, which would commemorate the Last Supper, and we'd do a communion time, and then Good Friday, a noon service where we then left there without any sense of resurrection.
Yeah, and talk about that. Leaving the Good Friday service, I've experienced this as well, and it can be so effective the way you leave that service.
Oh, leave that service in silence. Leave it in a point of you know that you're in. I think about the Psalm 22, which is the crucifixion psalm, over 30 references to the crucifixion of Christ in Psalm 22, written 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified, and hundreds and hundreds of years before the Romans had even invented crucifixion. Just read Psalm 22, and that psalm is kind of the Good Friday worship experience. You just read that, and not just that, but all of the Isaiah word and all of the gospel writers' accounts of the crucifixion. and you just stay right there, and you leave that service in really a very somber kind of a, even in silence. And some of those services I've been in, and we're going to exit in silence. I've actually been to a Good Friday service where we commemorated the Lord's Supper, where we observed the Lord's Supper, and the entire service was silent. There wasn't a note played. There wasn't a word spoken. It was a silent Lord's Supper in a Good Friday setting. Beautiful, powerful, powerful. But also, if you wanted to have spoken word or sung prayer or singing, focusing on the atonement, on the blood, on the body of Christ, and really keeping it in that somber moment and leaving that service in silence, and then send people on their way. And then Sunday morning you open up with the fanfare of He's alive. And
absolutely.
And I, you know, a church that wants to really do something very, very special at Easter time could think about a Thursday night, Friday, Sunday experience, or even a Friday and Sunday experience, and putting that together on two different occasions into one thought of commemorating the crucifixion. And as I said, Psalm 22, the crucifixion psalm, and then Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That burial psalm, I think, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. And then Psalm 24, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty becomes that resurrection psalm.
Yes.
You could tie a theme together around something like that and do it over a couple of days instead of just that one commemoration. And I would say this to anybody, make sure on Sunday morning that you are setting your pastor up to stand up with the Word of God and preach some powerful message. I would challenge any musician, don't rob your pastor's preaching time on Easter Sunday.
Yeah,
you know, be conservative and guard his times, because he's going to have an opportunity to connect with the people that are there. And I would encourage our musician friends to keep that in mind as they make their plans for Easter.
Mike, another thing musically that occurs to me, it's important for the minister of music. You have a lot of unchurched people that will come for Easter Sunday morning service, a lot of people that aren't in that service. So how does that affect the musical choices you make for Easter Sunday morning?
I think Easter Sunday is not necessarily the service when you want to roll out five new songs that nobody's ever heard before. Yeah. Including your church. I think it's the place where you do go back to the familiar, and maybe you put it in a different setting, or you use a different version of something, but go back to the familiar and let the church sing, man. Yeah. Just put the most powerful texts and great hymns and songs in the voice of your congregation on Sunday, and let them testify with their song to all the people that may be there that don't know Christ and that are there because it's Easter. Let them hear the congregation sing the truth of resurrection, and let your pastor preach with power the great message of life that comes from Jesus' resurrection. So, yes, I think Easter Sunday morning is that time. Yeah, and you know what? If you're choir and orchestra or whatever you use to lead worship with, boy, that's the Sunday to put something in their hands and in their mouths that they can really deliver the truth of the life that Jesus has given to us because of his resurrection. And you want those Easter Sunday morning moments to be, you're not experimenting. You're not introducing something that's really different. You're doing something that's going to be the very, very best corporate expression led by your musicians that you can possibly do. And I would default to the familiar. I might be willing to do something fresh with the familiar.
Yeah.
But that's not the Sunday to do the new song that nobody knows.
It strikes me. I've been looking at a lot of worship leaders who are sharing what they're planning to do for Easter upcoming, and I love that. I love the various places where people, and I wish people would go to worshiplife.com if you would like to do this, and you can share your set list there. We can start getting some set lists from worship leaders at worshiplife.com. What are you planning to do this Easter? As I've been watching some of that, Mike, I've seen churches using the new setting of Glorious Day. And so that's a little bit of like what you're talking about. You've got a familiar hymn lyric, but it's set to a new tune and it's presented in a new way. And there's lots and lots. I think of Because He Lives, Amen. I think of Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. So what's great about what's happening in modern worship today, so much of it calls back to those familiar hymns. And these are the kinds of things that the very infrequent attender is going to recognize: the Amazing Grace part of that song, the Because He Lives part of that song. song, even sure. The Living He Loved Me, the Glorious Day. So the contemporary worship music has brought to us some great opportunities to do something fresh with a familiar text that'll both engage your current audience as well as bring along that infrequent and tender so that they can all participate.
Yeah, and the thing I want to hear on Easter Sunday morning, if there's a powerful solo, great. If there's I want to hear that congregation, man. I want to hear that congregation sing with gusto on Sunday. And so my plan is going to be centered around and hopefully facilitating complete participation by everybody or as many people as possible on Easter Sunday morning as we sing about the resurrection of Jesus.
It's just one of those things. The other thing, Mike, that I think about, just logistics, we can get so caught up in other things that we're not ready for company, is the way I would put it. Man, make sure you've got some people to show people where the nursery is and where the choir room is and where they can take their children. And most churches are pretty good about this, but even in the music ministry, we just need to remind ourselves to be ready for company on Easter Sunday morning.
Yeah, there's a really funny video. A lot of people will know the comedian John Crist. He has all those little parody videos that he does, and he kind of makes fun of all of us at some point or another. But one of the real funny ones, he has a video about the pastor on Easter Sunday, and it's hilarious to read. I'd encourage you to look that up, and it's funny as you laugh at it, but there's a lot of truth in what he's saying too.
Absolutely.
How we tend to sometimes Easter Sunday morning is not our best selves, but I think to your point, it is a time to be very sensitive that we're going to have people that aren't there all the time that are there that day, and we want the experience to be the one that would best represent the power of the gospel as the church worships together.
Mike, we talk about it all the time. The message is too important for distractions. And Easter Sunday, just not careful, and by trying to introduce too much that's unfamiliar, by trying to do too many things, by trying to make it too productive-oriented in that sunrise service out in the park, all of these things are distractions from point.
No question.
If you're not careful, and as much as we need to celebrate and want to celebrate, just keeping in mind the main thing is that people hear the gospel message and that nothing gets in the way of that. And little things like people not knowing where to go so that they can't get the congregation on time and be in their seat on time so that they're ready to hear that message undistracted, those little things.
And my parting thought I want to share, Brian, is I want to tell our worship leader friends out there and the ones that are planning and leading worship each week, approach every Sunday with a sense of Easter.
Amen.
We want that day to be that day.
Yeah.
But every Sunday we meet together is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And that intentional focus on the gospel being preached and sung and celebrated in the corporate worship experience. Let's bring that every time we step out there for the glory of God and for the benefit of the people that we lead.
He's worth it. Well, we want to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you're planning to do this Easter. As I said earlier in the podcast, if you would just go to worshiplife.com, share your set list, and other people, other ministers' music can find it there. You can share it with each other, talk about what you're planning to do. We'd love to hear creative elements that you've used over the years. We want to hear about your Palm Sunday services, your Maundy Thursday services, your Good Friday services, and the way you've used those. As always, when you email us, worship@lifeway.com, let us know how we can pray for you and pray for your ministry, and know that we are praying for you this Easter. The Lifeway worship team is praying for you this Easter, that the people in your congregation would hear the gospel message afresh and anew, and that more would come to know Christ and be impacted by His wondrous, wondrous heart this Easter season. That's our prayer. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life Podcast. We'll be back together to talk about worship and music ministry again very soon.